But off the top, a special announcement, which I think is just going out as we speak. So you are getting this first. Four-time World Series champion Jack Morris has joined Sportsnet as a Blue Jays baseball analyst, and he joins me in studio. Well, welcome back. Long time no see. How you
How
been?
How about that? Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good to see you. So we were talking a little bit earlier. You're working with the Twins, working with MLB, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and somebody from Sportsnet says, hey, would you have any interest?
Right.
Did you hesitate?
Well, I want to know what are the details? What are you talking about? You know,
sure.
Because initially I didn't know if it was part-time, full-time,
right.
Radio, TV, some of it, all of it, whatever. So, they got back to me. They just basically wanted to see if I had interest. And I certainly did, because I'm excited, as are a lot of fans here in Toronto and across all of Canada, to see what could become of this team this year.
What does it mean to you, or what does it mean to you, having been here for a couple of seasons and a couple of important seasons too?
Well, as a visiting player in my early years in baseball, and then the 2 years that I played here in Toronto with the world championship teams, and then again as a visiting player again the twilight years of my career, Toronto is always been one of my favorite cities in North America, if not number one as far as big cities. And so I knew the dynamics of what town, you know, what goes on here. And that's part of the excitement for me. It's not what they're putting together on the field. It's what could become of the whole energy because of what they're doing on the field.
If you hadn't, I mean, I know this is hypothetical, but if you hadn't played here, if you didn't have that kind of level of familiarity, mm-hmm. if you hadn't lived in the city at least part-time, would that have made this decision any different?
I think it'd been a little more difficult, because I am leaving my family and going to be gone, you know, from them quite a bit. We're going to do our best to keep that together. But ultimately, being familiar, understanding what Canada's all about. I vacation even to this day up in Northwest Ontario for my fishing trips. And that's, to me, I call it God's country, and it's my favorite place on the planet. So, you know, I'm a big fan of this part of the world.
Not to dwell on it, but do you understand the reluctance of some Americans to cross that border and come here? I mean, especially ones that don't have a real understanding of the fact that we're not really that much different.
No, I think it's the harassment factor, you know, just the red tape, the stuff that both sides have to do when they cross.
Yeah.
Those are things that a lot of people just don't want to jump through the hoops. But ultimately, you know, we put our underwear on the same way, you know,
yeah.
we eat the same way, same foods. I don't see us, our souls any different. I really don't.
Have you had the chance to make plans yet? I assume you're going to go to spring training.
I'm going to be down there for at least 3 weeks, I guess. First week basically is when the pitchers and catchers, or all the team reports.
Right.
They have about a week off before they actually start games, and I thought it would be advantageous for me to familiarize myself with a lot of the players that I don't know, and a few of the coaches that I do, and just be a part of it, kind of get my feet wet and, you know, let the guys know what I'm there to do and how I might be able to help.
Before you took this job, the Toronto Blue Jays underwent a fairly significant overhaul over the course of the offseason, and I think everybody, including you, knew about it. Give me your take on, as you watched then dispassionately from afar, at what Alex Anthopoulos was doing here. I mean, were there moments where you went, holy smokes?
Well, I think he, you know, the vault door opened for him.
I think it had probably been closed
for a while, and all of a sudden somebody... And I got to believe Mr. Beeston had a little bit to do with it. Somebody recognized, all right, the Yankees are getting old, which they are.
Whether
you want to admit it or not, if I'm chastising New York for saying that, well, then have at me. But bottom line is they're getting old, and they're going to try to piece it together. Boston's in a kind of a mix right now with rebuilding. The pitching staff's kind of questionable, a lot of different moves. Boston's not as solid as they once were.
Right.
Tampa Bay, the other contender in that division, lost a bunch of guys to free agency this last year. And, you know, nobody really knows if Baltimore is going to be for real again or not. So I think they looked at it as, hey, this is a golden opportunity for us if we can find the right people to come in.
Right.
And there was a whole bunch of right people in their minds that were available.
The most significant, if you had to pick one, the most significant addition to this club. Because there are some significant ones.
Well, I'll just clump it into one. The pitchers that they got from Miami, with Burley and Johnson, I think, are huge. You know, R.A. is phenomenal when he's on. He's a one-dimensional guy with that knuckleball. That's the life that knuckleball pitchers have. Right. You know, he's got a name for her, the pitch, okay? And when she's working, everything's great. That tells you a lot about what he can do when it's not working. You know, they also, Reyes and Melky, and they made some moves that can ignite the offense too, but I really think it's Burley and Johnson to really hold down the pitching staff and make everybody out of breathe a little bit.
Burley will give you innings.
Yep.
And you know, quality guy.
Right.
Johnson has big upside.
Right.
We've seen some of that upside, but not the last couple of seasons, yeah, partly because of injuries or whatever. Tell me where you think he'll be this year. What do you expect?
Well, I wish I knew him better. And that, again, is part of the reason I want to go down to spring training, to get to understand and know these guys a little bit and talk to them. I mean, I think I have some experience that I can share with them. If they want to listen, they will. If they don't, they don't have to. I mean, I'm not a coach, but I certainly want to share, if I can, some of the things that I've experienced.
Right.
With that being said, you know, he's got the dynamic stuff. He should be the number one guy. He's got that power arm, and when he's on, it's lights out, and, you know, it's really a matter of whether he's going to be healthy enough to and stay healthy, what his training regimen is during the summer, and whether he can condition himself to go for the long run.
You like to move the ball around when you were pitching. Did you ever fool around with a knuckleball?
I tried it.
Did you?
Couldn't even get a feel, no.
Do all pitchers at the major league level fool around with it, do you think?
I think, you know, you migrate to the guy that's known for it in the league. I went up to Phil Niekro, Nuxie.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I knew him and Joe really well. And they both threw it, and they both had a little different way of throwing it. And I said, you know, Phil showed me I know he didn't lie to me. He showed me every single thing he did with the ball. And I tried, I just physically couldn't do it. And I think if I could, you know, we'd all throw knuckleballs. It's one of those touchy feel pitches.
Right.
You either can do it or you can't do it. And most guys just don't have the patience to keep with it. You know, you look at like R.A., he's worn every uniform.
Yeah.
and that says a lot that, you know, it's been a roller coaster ride with him, but it finally stuck here in the last few years with New York. And, you know, he wins a Cy Young, which he deserved, I think. And let's just hope that he can bring that over here to the American League again.
Well, and you know, we've both seen a lot of pitchers over our time. Never seen a knuckle and quite a few knuckleballs.
Yeah.
Never seen a guy throw it as hard as R.A. throws it.
Well, that's relatively,
or close.
Yeah. That's new.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's all of a sudden taken him to a different level. You know, he tried to feel it for quite a few years. And,
right.
You know, he'd add a little and take a little off and just seem to not have. Now all of a sudden he starts throwing it hard and he gets more consistency with the location in the strike zone. It's still dancing, but it's in the strike zone. And that makes the guy look pretty good.
With Jack Morris, who returns to Toronto as analyst on Blue Jay radio broadcast, but also on television, too. Do you know how many games you're going to do on TV? Or has that been decided?
20 to 30, I think.
Right.
You know, I'll be working with Buck and Tabby, and, you know, maybe all three of us will be in the booth a couple times.
Yeah, that'd be good, too. Yeah. When a team goes through the kind of overhaul that this team did, and the Blue Jays went through this to some extent in 92, even greater in 93. Half the team in 93 was changed. We talk a lot in sport about chemistry, guys being able to get along. How does a team mesh together? Does it matter as much in baseball?
Absolutely.
Okay, so explain to me.
Well, I'll explain the best way I can. The team with the best chemistry last year was not the best team in baseball, but they did win the World Series. And that was the San Francisco Giants. Mm. I got to follow them in the postseason. And, you know, I heard a little bit about their character, and they had some odd ducks. They've got some guys that, you know, you probably wouldn't be hanging with them every night on the road. But when they put the uniforms on and went to the ballpark, there was something magical that happened. And that's what I call chemistry. It's the 10th player. And it's so important. And so many clubs just don't ever get it. That getting the right characters and putting all the puzzles together, you know, there's got to be a core of guys that help bring the odd pieces in.
Right.
And without those guys, whether it's a coaching staff, a manager, or just some individual players, somehow there has to be that core. And then you can build off of that. And I think that's what Alex is trying to do right now is he trusts John Gibbons. You know, he's a guy that he wanted for his manager. He's been through it before.
Yep.
And he understands him and knows his honesty. And he wanted somebody that he could trust. So that's what he did. And, you know, whether or not who emerges from this, you know, it's almost like an asteroid exploded and it all came down to Earth. And now all of a sudden we're going to see what forms.
Yeah.
That's what we're up against this summer.
How was the chemistry with the 92 club?
It was great. It was absolutely great. I think, you know, they added the pieces in 92 to a basic core that was fabulous. I mean, when you got Olerud and Robbie and Joe Carter and Wright, and you got Devon White, who was, in my opinion, the best center fielder I ever had, and nothing against Kirby or Devon or Kenny Lofton, but Devon could go get balls that neither one of those could ever go get.
Oh, yeah.
So he was my favorite. You know, I think they had the nucleus. They just needed to add a few of the pieces. They needed a solid pitcher. I came in and helped that part out. They had a strong bullpen to go with. And, you know, they got a guy named Dave Winfield who just absolutely ignited the offense and brought a lot of these people together. So, again, it kind of came together. And that's what they're trying to do right now.
I'm trying to remember. Did you sign first or did Dave sign first? You were a day apart.
I think I did.
You signed first.
That way they could give Dave more.
But Beeston used your signing then to get Winfield, at least in part.
I'm not sure. But I think, you know, I mean, when players start seeing what teams are trying to do, it's obviously an easier choice. It was probably easier for R.A. Dickey to do it once he saw what happened with the Miami trade.
Yeah.
You know, Reyes was kind of in the middle of that.
Yeah, to some extent. Although having met Jose and got to know him a little bit, he seems like a really genuinely good guy.
Yeah.
Probably a good guy in the room, and obviously a superior talent.
Yeah. Well, he's the igniter. He's the guy that
you need one of those guys.
Absolutely.
I mean, you guys had Robbie.
We had Robbie, and then we got a guy named Ricky, who was and not to mention Paul Molitor, who, you know, didn't play defense, but he was a DH that could do all those things. He could run, he could antagonize, he could just annoy pitchers. And those kind of guys, trust me, as a pitcher, the gnats that can run, that are always on base and always buzzing in your ear, they never go away. It's a headache, and that's what we need him to do this summer.
Speed or power, more important, offensively?
Well, speed if you can get on. You got to get on.
Yeah.
You know, power is going to come. I mean, you can't live and die with the long ball. I think a lot of teams have tried, and good pitching will take care of the long ball. But good pitching has a tough time with speed.
As you look at this team right now, is there a weakness? And if so, what do you think it might be?
Right
or
now,
a question mark.
As we speak today, I think the weakness is how they'll come
mesh.
Together. Yeah, how they'll mesh, the personalities. Will there be chemistry? Will there be animosity? You know, will there be fun or will there be jealousy? You don't want any of the bad things. You want all the good things to come together. You want them to realize that baseball life is short. It really is. We think it lasts forever when we're playing.
Yeah.
But it's a short little blink, and all of a sudden you're talking for a living. And, you know, thank God for that, I guess. But the bottom line is there's nothing that replaces those years on the field.
You were billed from time to time. It was suggested with you, and I had a few occasions to talk to you, but not a whole lot during your playing career, to be honest. Were you a guy that brought guys together, or were you more of a solitary figure? In your own evaluation.
Well, I think I knew my role. My role was to lead by example more so than my mouth. But as I grew older and I wasn't as good at leading by example, because we all get older and it's harder to compete and to show guys, then I think there's things you can do to motivate young pitchers. You know, my guys were always, when I went to Minnesota, it was the Scott Erickson's and Kevin Tappany's, the young pitching staff with inexperience. And I took it as a challenge to try to bring them to a new level. When I came here, you know, ultimately Pat Hankin and Woody Williams and those kind of guys hadn't really had a lot of
Stottlemyre, Wells.
Well, David, I think David.
Dave was on his
he
own.
Beat his
he
own
was
drum.
On trip. Yeah. Yeah.
He was off in Never Never Land. But, you know, he became a great pitcher.
But he was a young pitcher.
He was.
He was a guy. There's
right.
Jimmy Key, Todd Stottlemyre.
Well, Jimmy Key was all a veteran.
They all pitched out of the bullpen in the World Series in the postseason.
Yeah. Well, but they were great guys. And my point is, you know, you got a Tom Henke, you got a Dwayne Ward, who were in their quiet ways, even though they were in the bullpen, they were leaders. And, you know, I think a club on any given day, anybody can be a leader. You know, go out and show how you lead. You know?
Yeah.
To me, that's the best example of leadership is, here's what we do today, guys. This is how we do it, and we win, and that's fun.
So you got 12 pitchers, you got 13 everyday players, or the other way around sometimes.
Yeah.
The way things are going now, who knows how many pitchers guys are going to carry. But is it cliquey? Do the pitchers really stick together, and therefore is there leadership within the pitchers and leadership within the everyday players?
I think to a degree, baseball's always been that way.
It is, isn't it?
I really do. I think they cross the line. You know, when things are good, they tend not to cross the line when they're having bad teams. You know, when teams are going lousy and it's a tough summer, you don't see a lot of fun anywhere. You know, it's just not a fun year. When things are going well, clubhouse environments can be a lot more tolerable, a lot more fun. But yeah, I think for the most part, pitchers understand pitchers because they have to deal with those guys called hitters. And hitters tend to not want to hang with pitchers because, you know, we're weird and different. And, you know, just ask Ted Williams.
Define what we're going to hear. What's Jack Morris's broadcast style?
Well, you know, obviously my forte is pitching, and I'm going to try to let the fans understand what I think I see from the pitcher standpoint. Okay. Obviously, and this is a kind of a curious analogy, but I remember when my middle son was about junior high age, and he was going to be pretty decent hitter, big strong kid, and I was trying to help him with his hitting, and he looked at me, he says, "Dad, you were a pitcher, what do you know about hitting?" I said, "Well, I know this. I had to figure him out. I had to get him out. I know everything there is to know about hitting because I was the guy that had to execute those things." So hitting and pitching to me are very similar. It's all about balance and, you know, weight distribution and where your hands are at the right time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to bring fun to the game. You know, I want to have people come out to the ballpark and maybe hear my voice as a guy who's doing things for the right reasons. I love winning, and I've been a big part of it. I want to see it again.
I get the sense you won't be afraid to critique where you think it's appropriate.
Let me put it this way. I was a player, and I understand what it's like to listen to guys pass judgment on you. I don't ever want to get on a personal level with any player.
Right.
If I see a guy make a mental mistake, I think it's fair to say I don't know what he was thinking right there.
Right.
I mean, that's part of our life. And I, you know, I'll be the first one to stand in his face as soon as the game's over and say, "Did you have a problem with that? Because this is what I saw."
Yeah.
I said, "Doesn't mean I don't like you. I'm still in your corner."
Right.
You know, I'm just pointing out because that's my job now. It's funny because 20 some years ago when the press were giving me troubles, I didn't have the patience to understand that point.
Well, no, you had the image when you came to Toronto of being hard to get along with and not real receptive with the media. And I never found you that way.
Well, I think I changed here in Toronto.
Did you really?
That's where I realized when I left Detroit, I realized there was a whole bunch of people in Michigan that never really understood me because the way I dealt with the press. It wasn't anything to do with me as a player. It was the fact that they knew me through what they read, and right. I wasn't exactly the best guy to be around. I knew I had to change. And so I tried to acknowledge to the media here in Toronto that, hey, I'm a human being, and I'm going to have my good days and bad days. I don't want to fail. I don't want to go out there and do bad. And if I do, it's because I'm human. And that's my whole point with today's players. When I have to talk about them in a negative aspect, it's not going to be about them personally. It's going to be about what they did performance-wise on the field.
Remember your first game pitching for the Toronto Blue Jays?
I really don't. Had to be in spring training, right?
No, I mean after spring training. First regular season game, you got the start on opening day.
Yeah.
I think it was against the Tigers, if I'm not mistaken. And Cito came out, close ball game. Cito came out, I think, in the eighth inning. And he was going to take the ball from you.
Yeah.
And you essentially wouldn't give it to him. You talked him out of it on the mound. And you guys went on and won that ball game to start the season. And there was a comment that was made saying, right there, that's the difference in the Toronto Blue Jays of 91 and 92
yeah.
is Jack Morris saying, "No, let me finish this. And you pitched a complete game in your first start.
Well, we live in a different era now, you know.
We do.
And I am a dinosaur compared to, you know, today's era in that regard. With that being said, I don't believe it should be any different. I believe that's the way it was. You know, the guys that I looked up to, the guys that were my heroes, you know, the Carltons and the Ryans and the Negroes and, you know.
Guys who pitched 300 innings.
Exactly. Every single one of them pitched 300 innings. And when they took the ball, their objective was to win the game and finish the game.
That's right.
And if they didn't, it was because they stunk. I mean, that's the bottom line. So, Sparky taught me that in Detroit. And I realized when he came out to get me, there's two things going on. I stink, and I either have to kick in another gear. Maybe he'll let me finish this, and I could get some results to turn around. Or else he's going to take me out because I really stink. Either way, it's no fun. You never want to see your manager on the mound.
It's great to have you back. Congratulations on the new gig. We hope it's for a long time, and we look forward to having the opportunity to see a lot of you over the course of the season.
Appreciate it, Bob. It's going to be a fun summer. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks for coming in. Yeah. The legendary Jack Morris, now part of the Sportsnet Blue Jays broadcast crew.